we are going to see God do some awesome things here. Amen? I said, we're going to see God do some awesome things here. The thing is he's going to do it through us. We're not just waiting for a revival to take place and happen because we're going to be stirred and emotionally just revved up in him, but we're going to be so equipped to be his servants, all right? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about real people, real God, making a real difference, all right, so that we can be his servants out there, his hands, his feet extended, making a difference in the world in which you live. And today, we're going to take a look at three areas in which successful people have been able to make a difference, and I believe it's a principle that we're going to find is going to carry through in all kinds of different situations and applications. Now, last week, we thanked those individuals who have been serving us on a regular basis, and the stage was full of people. Wasn't it awesome? You know what my goal is for next year? Anyone have any idea what my goal would be for next year? Yeah, that you know what? We have everybody up here, and just, you know, our newcomers, our guests are the only ones that are sitting out there, and they come and they say, whoa, this is a working church. Or this is a church in work, or this is a work, whatever it is you want to be, all right? We're serving together to get things done. I'm telling you what, there's nothing that brings me greater joy than to see people's lives change as a result of them serving together. And so I gave you the scripture verse, and I just want to draw your attention to it. I'm going to turn on my clicker here, all right? Thanks, guys, for doing that for me. But before we do that, we've been talking about this vision, all right? And in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, and we said there's no where there is no redemptive revelation. We have to keep vision tied to the mission. You get that? If vision isn't tied to the mission, then what in the world are we doing? I'm not just giving you a vision here of accomplishing something so that people can look back and say, well, look at Central. No, it's tied to the redemptive revelation that Jesus Christ, the good news, amen, has come and touched and changed your life. And guess what? He'll do the same for other people as well. And so where there's no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed. Say blessed. Happy. Fortunate. And enviable. You're like, Pastor, envy? Do not covet. Do not envy. We're talking about where people look at you and say, you know what? I wish I could be like them. Well, guess what? You can. You can be as bold as the person sitting next to you. You can look and you can be just like somebody else as far as if you look up to them and say they're accomplishing great things for God. There is no favor that has been placed upon them that God has not also put enough of his anointing aside to be able to say, guess what, I've got it for you too. And so I'm happy for this, and this is something that we want to do, and we want to help the body of Christ to accomplish great things. So I have this question, you know, for us as we're trying to be people who make a real difference, all right? And that is, come on, there we click. We talked about, I'm going to get to the question in a minute, but little will do when it's the real God in you. Say that with me. Little will do when it's the real God in you. That's what we ended with 2 weeks ago, okay? And you can make a difference. Clicking. Help me out. It's not working there today. Service makes a real difference. Go ahead, please. Matthew chapter 20:28. This is the scripture verse that we ended with last week. It says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. This is Jesus, right? Talking to his disciples. Next slide, please. Next one. There we go. It's not happening. Keep going. Glitch, there it is. Who in here wants to be great? I have a question. I said, who in here wants to be great? Now, all of you are trying to be modest. I don't want to call it false humility, but you don't want to become arrogant. When you hear that word great, you're automatically thinking of, well, if I say I want to be great, then obviously someone else has to be least. Many people travel that path. If I'm going to be great, then somebody else has to be lacking. Can I tell you something? when God does something for you, or he uses some of his resources for you, he uses some of his anointing for you, he's not taking away from anybody else in order to give you what you have need of. And he can cause for every single person in here to be, say it with me, great. He wants us to be great. You're like, whoa, how many great grandparents we have in here? Look at that. Are you proud of that? Isn't that awesome? You love your great grandbabies? I mean, to be a great is just something that just kind of moves in us and motivates us, and we really get excited about that, do we not? But I want to tell you something. To be great when you're doing the things for the Lord, serving him, making a difference, that is what really will be the thing that you're going to look upon in the end and say, Lord, thank you for doing that. Give me the next slide, if you would, please. So here we want to give you another scripture verse. If we get it, there we go. That's all right. That's not what I had, but okay, there we go. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one of you, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Now, how many of you want to get something from the Lord today? Bow your heads with me. Lord, I thank you right now that in the next few moments you're going to be able to give us something that will transform, that will motivate, that will change us, that will challenge us, and that, Lord, we'll leave here with a determination to make a difference. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. These words that I have underlined are going to be the basis for our points that we're going to make today. The three successful areas, the things that we do, the action steps in order to be a people who make a real difference. All right? Each one of you should use whatever gift. He should do it with the strength that God provides and in all things. I wanted you to see that right from the very beginning. How many of you have ever seen that movie, Chariots of Fire? All right? Raise your hand if you have not seen the movie Chariots of Fire. Okay, I know the lights are blinding to me, but they're not that. Wow, that's a number of you. It's a classic. There's a runner in it by the name of Eric Little, and he knows he has been called to be a missionary to China, and rather than going to China, he instead also has this other gift, and he's a runner, all right? Now, his sister confronts him one time and says, listen, I think you're running from the call of God to go serve in China. To which Eric responded, he says, listen, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He said, I feel God's pleasure. You see, even something like running can be done, can bring God pleasure if it's a God-given ability that you are using. If it's for his glory, if it's for his gain, when you use the gift that he has given to you, listen, he looks at you, and he knows the frail being that you are. You're like, what? Didn't he make us all with just superpowers and super beings? Well, yeah, in a sense, but it doesn't come from your own strength, your own abilities. It comes from him. You see, he knows that in your frailty, it is when your body is broken. It is when you are able to see that it's not your strength that gets things done. It's his gifts operating through you. And when you recognize that sooner than later, you literally give him pleasure by using your gift to make a difference in other people's lives. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to be able to do something that otherwise cannot be done except that God intervenes. Who gets the glory with that? God does. Some people look at you at different times and they see you accomplishing certain things, and they may not look at you as far as being much of a contributor or someone who can make much of a difference. Maybe they've looked a little down on you, and then all of a sudden you surprise them with some type of actions, and they say to you, I never knew you could do that. I never knew that you had that information. How many of you have ever been caught by surprise and, you know, someone else was caught by surprise by your actions or by your knowledge? Come on, raise your hand if you impressed somebody before. Come on, raise your hand if you impressed somebody before. It's like, whoa, I didn't know that about you. And hopefully you had the response, well, you know, I wasn't always this way. I didn't always have this knowledge. I didn't always have this gift. You see, I sense that God put this in me. There's sometimes I can't even figure out how I'm going to get done the very next thing. And then God drops an idea in my heart. He drops something in my mind about what can happen next. You know what I'm talking about? God knows how frail we are, but Eric said it this way. He says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. So if we were to fill in the blank today, when I what blank do you feel God's pleasure? When you do what? When you're doing what doesn't make you feel God's pleasure? For Eric, it was running. The problem is that many people today don't feel that pleasure. They haven't experienced the exhilaration that comes from walking in this divine place, this place where you understand that you are flowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Flowing with the Holy Spirit. Going in the direction that He would have for us. And so they feel some anxiousness, and they start to feel this stress. You know, but God's not wanting us to feel stress in serving Him. Oh, I didn't say it wouldn't be challenging. Come on now, let's get this straight. I mean, it's not always easy. If you've been serving God in any form or fashion at all, you know that sometimes you've got to beat down the flesh, right? You got to take up your cross and daily follow after Him. But the fact of the matter is that it shouldn't be stressful. It shouldn't be something to say, I'm just be glad when this is done. Now, okay. Come on, if you raise your hand if you felt that way before. I'm just glad when this is over. You're having to kind of toil and you're dragging yourself through things and whatever. But guess what? On a regular basis, when you're operating in the gift that God has given to you, you should never be saying, I'm just glad when I get done with this. I don't have to be used in this particular way. Maybe you're not operating in your gift after all. I don't know. So many people are running on empty rather than feeling God's pleasure. I'm so thankful we've got some people here in this church, and we're going to move quickly in this, and I might only use a couple of you, you know, right now because I am running out of time, but I want to share with you people who have been serving in this church, and they're not running on empty. They're not running on fumes. Instead, they're running on the overflow. They sense God's pleasure. So we have someone who was here last week. She doesn't even attend our church. And she serves here on a regular basis. She helps to care for our children. Her name is Kim Wickman. And she comes and we try to pay her. And she just serves. It's amazing. I don't say that to take advantage of her. We don't take advantage of her. But she believes in what we're doing here. She has a church owner. She says, I have been blessed by Central through serving by meeting people that are open, welcoming, encouraging to me and my husband. We went on a few of the Central date nights and enjoyed reconnecting. So she's talking about some fellowship that she's done for herself through the questions that were presented and focusing on having fun together again. And although I serve with the children, Central seemed to find a way to include me in adult activities, and I was blessed to get to know some very nice people and certainly saw the Spirit of God shining all the time through them. Isn't that awesome? Amen? That's for a person who's not even attending here, you know, and comes and serves. That's a person who is operating in their pleasure zone. You know what I'm saying? That's a person who says, you know what? This isn't for other things, but it's for Him. Dominica, come up here if you would, please. Dominica, you know she's led us in praise and worship this morning and done a fantastic job. Can you tell us just a moment, you know, a little bit about what it means to you to get to serve in this particular capacity?
So, long story short.
Short.
I'll be short, I promise. I know I talk a lot, but when I was really little, I was probably somewhere between the age of 5 and 8, and I only know because I remember what bedroom I had. Because I was so young, but I asked God for the gift to sing, and it was really neat because I was listening to Amy Grant and Whitney Houston when I was doing that, and I, for some reason, it was obviously a call of God because a young child doesn't think to ask these things. I don't even think I ever told you this, but I asked God for the gift to sing, but I was like, God, I don't want to sing like everybody else because everybody sings. I said, I want people to feel You and to know You from what comes out of me. As a kid, so obviously I was called into that, and I had a couple of different people say different things to me since I've been here, and it was really interesting, because I don't even remember who it was, so if it was you, I'm really sorry, but at least you know it meant a lot to me, But they said, you know, I love when you lead worship because you invite us to worship with you. You're not worshiping at us or commanding us or anything, but your love for Jesus flows through you, and then it invites us to worship. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, wow, God, you really answered my prayer in that. And another side note, just for anybody who, you know, wants to get involved, I don't really have a strong family other than, like, my kids and stuff. My mom struggles with alcoholism, and my dad was married into a different wife. And he lives in Norton Shores. I live in Grand Haven. I've probably talked to him maybe 3 times this whole year. And this church has been my family. Dan and Ashley are, like, Pastor Dan, are, like, sister and brother to me. And Pastor Wally has been, like, really amazing. And Val's been like a sister to me, and it means more than you could ever imagine. So I'm telling you, they didn't even really know me when I came. Dan and Ashley didn't know me at all. So if you're looking for family, we're family. We're family.
Amen. Amen. I believe what she was saying is it gave her great pleasure to be able to serve. It filled her up in lots of other different ways and such. And I'm going to ask for Keith to come, if you would, Keith Kirksey. And, you know, Keith is not that old with us as of late, but Keith's got quite a history as far as being here and being part of our church. But Keith's got a history here, something about, I think you might have even grown up here. Yeah,
I've been here for a while. I still have family here that's been here the whole time. My mom, my Uncle Dennis, hi, guys. But no, I came here when I was 12 years old. Got baptized behind that wall. Mm-hmm. After that, I have been for 35 years been in the church, been serving in a lot of different capacities. One of the things that Pastor and I were talking about leading up to this was, did I always serve where I was my pleasure or where I was? No, I didn't. I always was willing, put myself out there, said, yeah, I'll do that. A lot of times I figured out real quickly that this isn't me. You know what? There's other areas that I'm gifted in. So it's been a work in progress, but it's always been a pleasure to do it. You know, even if it wasn't the right thing, I stepped out, I did it, and God blessed me for it. I am blessed in so many ways with my family and everything else, and I know it was because of giving my time and energy and just serving. So it's Amen. Been a pleasure.
Amen. Thank you. And so the area that, yeah, go ahead, give him a hand.
Thank you.
So you served in, you know, you're serving as a deacon board member right now.
Yes.
You are a life group leader.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got an assignment to care for the facility and the inside here.
Yes, I do. And I'll be honest with you. That is one of the areas that is outside of my comfort zone. One of the things that I realized, I am in charge of the interior of the building and the upkeep of it. So if there are people here that is their gifting and their pleasure and their blessing, will you come talk to me? Because I do want to have this building in excellent shape and it be a place of excellence. And there are some things that need to be done. I don't have the skills and knowledge. My family does. But I decided, I watched them, how hard they worked, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go into management and accounting. That way I can do that end of it and let them do the hard work. So I'm just putting myself out there, letting you know that's how it is. But there are people that have those skills that I don't. So if you do and you would like to serve in that capacity, please come see me. I have plenty of stuff for you to help me with.
Amen, so. Amen. Give him a hand again. Thanks. You know, so there's all kinds of ways in which people have served and are serving, you know, throughout the years. And you've heard it from both of them as far as, I guess you didn't hear this part as much, but it becomes challenging at times, in even involved in ministry. But it brings him pleasure when we do what he's called us to do. And it's so important for you to realize that. And I just want to draw your attention to some other scriptures here as we get to a moment. But the first action point that I want you to know, 3 actions that have resulted in real people making a difference, all right? Go ahead, if you would, please. The next slide. Next one after that. Is that you would use your God-given gifts in serving others. You might think, well, that's just what you've been saying. Exactly. You see, there are things that you can do that other people cannot do. There's some people who have literally the gift to be an usher, and other people do not. And the people who don't have the gift for it, or you maybe even see it, whoever's got disappointed maybe in someone else's performance or something like that, how many of you know it's real easy for us to sometimes pick apart what other people are doing and how they could go ahead and do it differently? Well, some are serving, as Keith has said, in an area where they're kind of have to, filling in the gap for that moment. But guess what? It may not be their gifting in those things. I've had some ushers, and I've talked about certain things, and we can try to train people about how to do certain things, but there's some people who see things that other people just don't see. And we make the mistake sometimes at assessing or judging or having an opinion about another person's abilities because they don't see what we see. But could it be that they just don't have that gift for that? Now, I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm not telling you, yeah, I see you because I don't want to see. Yeah, look over there. Come on, husbands. All right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Did you see that? Did you see those dirty clothes over there? Did you see that done? You know, just, well, I mean, how long are you going to let the lawn get, you know? I mean, whatever it is. The house needs to be painted or cleaned. I don't know what it is, but there's some people who have these God-given gifts. How many of you remember this little thing like this when you would take your hands like this in children's church? Go ahead and take your hands like that. We go, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. All right, right. Pretty cool, huh? Well, there's a second part to that, all right? And it says this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and where's all the people? Now, that wasn't because all the people took off and didn't want to be part of the church anymore, but it's because they were being sent out. It was part two of it. The people came in the church, but the people were sent out of the church in order to make a difference. So as I speak to you about gifts, I'm not just talking about things that help you to serve me, get my job done. I'm talking about things that help you to be fulfilled so that wherever you go and whatever you do, you can know that God is smiling on you. He's looking at you. He's excited about it. You're entering the mission field. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 from the New Living Translation, go ahead to the next slide if you would, please. It says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Now, if that's not the steps for getting ready to be great, I don't know what they are, right? God's what? Generosity can flow through you. How generous is God? He's so generous that while you were still yet a sinner, while you despised, while you didn't want anything to do, while you wanted to try to do things in your own way and your own abilities, he said, guess what? I'm going to give to you something you don't deserve. That's how generous a God is. Have you felt the generosity of God? Raise your hand if you've felt the generosity of God before, all right? Well, he wants it to flow through you as you use your gifts for him. And I'll tell you what, it's important that we would use those gifts. I mean, there's some people who will step into a place and serve for a while. I remember one occasion, and I don't know, maybe you can help me out with this, Bruce, but I think Bruce was asked a long time ago, you know, can you play the drums? And what did he do? He did, oh yeah, I can do that. And I don't know if you went over there or what and started to hit, and Bruce was horrible at it. Do you remember this story? Do you remember some of this? Something along the lines, it's just come to my mind. And as I was preparing this or crafting this, I was thinking, that's what come to mind. And what Bruce said, he said, well, no, you just asked me if I could or if I would. He said, certainly, I can go over there and I'll just do whatever's necessary. He wasn't horrible. I'm sorry. He just wasn't real good at it. Okay. So hyperbole, all right? I'm trying to, you know, make a point here. Help me out, all right? But he was not the proficient drummer that Dave Barham was. But he was willing. Now, do I want Bruce, even though he's willing, to stay drumming when he is not, you know, there, right? Someone say, well, it's better than nothing. How many know that sometimes better than nothing isn't always the case? Sometimes nothing is better than, yes, all right? All right, there we go. Hey, here's the deal is, listen, God has given us gifts, each of us, and when we function in those gifts, we see that our purpose will be fulfilled. Listen, John 10:10, Jesus says, my purpose is to give you life and life to the full, not life that you have to just feel morbid about it, like you're dragging yourself and you don't want to come to church because you don't want to hear the pastor say again to you, you need to use your gifts. And pastors sometimes are timid at sharing this because it makes, and I tell you, I have to battle it right here in my mind. Like, I want you to do things to help me to get done what I'm hired to do. Can I be transparent with you? But the Word of God has said He's called, He's given to this church gifts. And one of those gifts happened to be pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles and evangelists, to equip you for works of service. Now, how do I equip you? I can't teach you. I can't give you gifts. God's the one who gives the gifts. But to show us how we together with vision can accomplish something we could never accomplish alone. And boy, what a machine we can be when we do it His way rather than our way. I'm excited to be part of the team. I'm excited to see God do awesome things through us. Action step number two, you need to serve from the strength that God gives you. Serve from the strength that's provided from God through His grace. We see it here in this text. The next slide, if you would, please. Next one, please. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Listen, there's some of us who don't realize how when we take a little, what I shared with you a couple weeks ago, it becomes much when it's with God. In 1972, NASA created a space probe that was going to go and to be thrust out into outer space and was going to be able to explore Jupiter, really. And all of its moons and the magnetic field and the radiation belts and the atmosphere around it. And this was pretty bold back in 1972 to create a device, a machine that would be able to go all of those thousands of miles all the way to Jupiter to take a look at the things. But this thing was called Pioneer 10. It not only accomplished its mission in less than a year, but after coming into contact with Jupiter, it got into the magnetic pull of Jupiter, and it hurled it past Jupiter on out to, and I want to get these planets right here, okay, so I'm just going to read this, on out into the edge of over there, what was it here, Jupiter's, in 1973, Jupiter, immense gravity, hurled it towards the edge of the solar system at 1 billion miles, that's billion with a B, from the sun. It then went on to Saturn. After it went to Saturn, it went to Uranus. After it went to Uranus, it went to Neptune. Now it's nearly 3 billion miles. After it went to Neptune, it went to Pluto. And by 1997, 25 years after its launch, the Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles away from the sun. It had only planned, they thought that it would be destroyed when it would come into the orbit and such there and the asteroids and such from Jupiter. But guess what? It wasn't. As it was accomplishing its task, it kept on going. And you know what the remarkable part of this? Not that it just continued to exist, not that it continued to function, but that what was sending the signal back to us to be able to know that it's working over 25, 30 some years later, guess what? Is a little 8-watt. That's 8 W-A-T-T. Do you know how many watts are in your blow dryer when it's running full blast? 1,500. On many cases. Some are 1,875 for you guys who are really aggressive, all right? But anyway, you know, 8 watts. 8 watts sends a radio signal back to the scientists on Earth. It's about as much power as in a small bedroom nightlight. The engineers who designed Pioneer 10 thought it would be useful for about 3 years. But the tiny little 8-watt transmitter has been something that's been going and going and going and going and going. You know, you could say that over and over again. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to keep going and going and going and going. Amen? I'm telling you, yeah, exactly. I want to see. You have got up. You've looked in the mirror and you said, how can God really use something if in this person that I see right there to make a difference? And it's everything that comes before. It's because you're willing to be a real person with all of your real issues. And you're willing to serve a real, one and only true God who gives you power, who gives you a calling, and he gives you the strength to be able to do what you couldn't do before. But guess what? With God on your side, you can keep going and going and going and not just marching along accomplishing something. You're accomplishing something for God when you use your gifts given to you from his strength and his grace. The problem that we have many times is that sometimes our fuel is not the fuel of the Holy Spirit, but it becomes things that this world has to offer. We sometimes get some bad fuel. How many of you ever had some bad fuel in a motor vehicle or something that you had right there and it sputtered and it didn't work right, right? Well, there's some signs of some unhealthy fuel that happens in some people's lives, and this unhealthy fuel supply is called brownie point living. Brownie point living. In other words, your service becomes an opportunity to seek God's favor for your benefit. Instead of responding to God's love for the benefit of others, you want brownie points. You want him to look at you and give you the attaboy, the attagirl. And certainly we want to be great, but why do I want to be great? I want to be great because I want to bring glory and honor to him. I want for people to look at me and say, you know what? Could anything come out of Columbiaville that would make a difference in Michigan? How about that short little 5'6" guy when he's stretched to his full length, all right? You know, with the right shoes on, who's had red hair, lost his red hair, had freckles, you know, wasn't maybe looked upon, was going to be passed over for things, but guess what? God saw to put me in a leadership realm from a very early age on until I'm here now, and here I am as a pastor trying to equip you and encourage you and bring inspiration to you that we can make a difference. Amen? Wow. Are there better ones out there? Probably so. Absolutely so. Better what? Better pastors, better people, better preachers, better communicators. But here's what I know. What I know is that I'm just going to take the gift that he's given to me, the calling he's given to me, and the strength that he's given to me, and I'm going to use it for his glory and his honor. And I'm not going to do it so I can get brownie points from him. Amen? I'm going to do it because I'm going to want to bring him glory and honor. The other unhealthy fuel is approval seeking. People trying to do things that other people look upon and say, oh yeah, I see why that's happening. I get it now. How many of you ever had to make some decisions and do some things when nobody else understood why you were doing it? That's a lonely road. It's lonely. For our family, we made some decisions about certain things that our kids would be involved in and things that they wouldn't be involved in. And you know what? If I sought the approval of even people in the church world, there was someone look at me and say, Pastor, you're crazy. You can't expect that of your kids. I was doing what the Lord told me to do, leading in that way. I believe that God's got something for us as a church. He's got something for you as an individual. But you got to ask yourself, how's your fuel gauge? Where are you getting your strength? What propels you? What motivates you? What keeps you going in this life of service? Or have you just checked out and said, nope, not interested because you're stressed out or because you're not lacking the fulfillment. But if your fuel supply is worship in response to the grace and the strength that God has given to you, all of a sudden, it is your reasonable response. Amen? Action step number 3, and we'll wrap it up with this. Make your service unto God personal through and through. Say through and through. What in the world does that mean? You know what it means if you've been around for a while. You hear this. You know what? It's just not on the surface. It's got to affect every area of my life. You see, make your service to God through and through. Give me the scripture verse support for that. I want you to see this in this context. He says, so that in all things. Say, so that. In all things. Think about that. What does that mean? God may be praised through Jesus Christ. In every area of your life, I've got to make it personal. I can't just wait till I get the title. I can't wait till I just get the position. You see, I've got to be doing things for the Lord all the time to bring him glory and honor when nobody else will recognize it, when nobody else sees it. In all things, when I'm feeding the dog, when I'm walking the dog, when I'm driving my car. I mean, does the flesh swell up within me? Absolutely. But I'm remembering that in all things, is God being able to be praised through Jesus Christ who lives in me? In all things, through and through, is my response something that testifies that the strength of God is in me, working through me, because I'm using my gifts and motivated by his strength? That's what I want. That should be what you want. You need to find out where God is working in your life and join him there rather than saying, God, bless what I'm doing. Right? We get it backwards all the time. Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to tell you something. You will probably go to work this week. You will probably go somewhere, maybe to the school if you're a student. You will probably be somewhere in your home or a gas station or grocery store. You may be involved in an athletic event or on the roadway or even in a hospital room. I ask you this today. Are you doing what you can do with your gifts supplied by his strength to bring to him in all things glory and praise unto his name? Amen. While you're responding to the adversities and the trials and the sickness that comes against you and say, you know what? I can't do this on my own strength, but to God be the glory. He promised to heal me. He promised to set me free. He promised to change me. He promised to set me on a path where I can be an example for him. Amen. I mean, there's a couple people excited here today. But I believe that God has given to us this opportunity to make a difference. St. Francis of Assisi put it this way. He says, listen, you need to understand your responsibility. His words were this: go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In other words, our life ought to speak. Our response to the adversities and the trials and tribulations ought to speak. Praise team, I want you to come on up here if you would, please. I'll tell you what, God is so good. There are so many ministry opportunities here at Central. There are so many things that you can be involved in. And we have areas of responsibility. You might look at something and see just because it's getting done that we have enough of these people in these areas. I want to tell you something. We can use more people to be ushers. We can use more people to be great greeters. We can use more people who will answer the call and use their gift to be teachers. Life groups. We don't have enough life groups. We're at the best place that we've been in life groups as far as participation for many years. It's awesome as far as what's happening. But I'm not going to quit. I'm with Pastor Ann. I'm still saying, you know what, 110%. We want everybody involved. Nursery. People to care. People to love on. People to love on the littles. To take upon them the responsibility to raise them up. Security teams. I mean, think about it. Cafe. Oh, cafe. But Tammy's not here today. She says, Pastor, make sure you tell them we need help in the cafe. But I don't want you to do it if it's not your gift. Some of you have the gift. Administratively, cooking, preparing. I mean, some of you get back there and you'd probably be close to killing someone. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking for that. We don't want any of that. No blood stuff going on back there, right? Because it gets crazy in a very limited amount of space and you have to move quick. But some of you can just be around and can just be greeting people, loving on people. That's your gift. You have maybe people, gift of helps and gift of administration. We got people counters. People help with communion. We have a great group of people who coordinated by Kim, who do the funeral preparations and when people are experiencing tragedy, special occasions, office help. Got people coming in the office every single week helping us to get some of the logistics, stuffing envelopes, putting envelopes in back of chairs, picking up communion things. I mean, it's amazing. Praise and worship team. You see some people up there say, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, you know what? We need some people to press some buttons. What are you talking about, Pastor? We have it so coordinated for you that you can just press some buttons. It don't always work right as they figure that out. But guess what? This pastor's patient, all right, and realizes many times technology doesn't work with us all the right way. But guess what? We need some people to press some buttons to take us to the next place. So people could press some buttons to control the lights. When those lights shifted down there a few moments ago, that's not because someone knew how to take it to a certain level. They pushed the button. They knew it was at that time of the service, and the lights changed. You getting this? You understanding here? I mean, this can. Some of you have the gift for that. The Lord has got so many things in store for us, and so many times we overlook opportunities. But opportunities are like islands. Some people, they really want to get on an island. They really want to live this life, and they think, wow, I just want to forget the rest of the world. But the island I'm talking about is an island of opportunity that helps us do things that we otherwise couldn't do, see people we otherwise didn't see before, recognize, as was done by an usher a number of years ago, when two teenage boys came into a church service and they couldn't find any seats. They turned around and they decided they were going to leave because they couldn't find a seat. But one usher said, come on, guys, I'll find you a seat. That usher personally escorted them down to the center and set them there in the middle and found them two seats. Talking about the gift of ushering, the strength to do and to be an usher. And then finally, what you do to bring glory and honor to Him. Amen. In everything, in all things. He said, I'll find you a seat. And he took them down there. And guess what? Both those boys accepted Christ and became Christians that night. Amen. When they were ready to walk away and turn away, they're just ready to give up. An usher with the gift of ushering and the strength said, guess what? I'm going to be Jesus in all things right now. Brought him down there. Just so happens that one of those boys was someone you may have heard of before. His name is Billy Graham. Really? Really? You mean I could be there and help make a difference by bringing someone to come to know the Lord who will have the influence that Billy Graham has had? Who knows? I know that God knows, and He's saying, I can make every single one of you great if you use your gifts. What's next for you? Your response here, we're gonna sing this song. We're gonna talk about the Lord using us, but the deal is that we have some steps in place. Our growth track gets everyone started. We discover your personality, we discover your gifts, we put you together with a team. We're meeting at 8:45 on Sunday mornings every single week. I mean, it's except for on the fifth Sunday weeks. Get you started. We have a plan. God's giving you the call. He gives you the strength. Do you want to be used for Him in all things, through and through? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to bring glory and honor to you. We're asking God that in these days ahead, these weeks and months ahead, and for as many years as you give us, that we will do things, Lord, that bring you glory and honor. That we will use these God-given gifts to bring you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing things that we could not do in our own strengths and our own abilities. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we certainly don't want to miss out on what we're here as far as a mission to to do with us to lead people into authentic life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. So you find yourself here and you say, I really like to help, but I think I got to get on the right team. I mean, I got to give my heart to him. And you know what? That's right. That's the best decision you can make. So if you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not in a relationship. You're not in right standing with him. There is unconfessed sin in your life, and you're saying, you know what? I've got to change. This has got to change in me. The habits and the rituals of doing the wrong things, it's just got to stop. Right now, today, it's going to stop, and you're making that declaration. If any of that applies to you, will you put your hand up in the air right now? Say, yeah, that's me. I got to get right. Anybody in this place today who's going to get right, who's going to say, I want to do it his way rather than my way? Looking around, seeing anybody here at all? God bless you. I see that. You put that hand down. Anyone else? Anyone else here today? Wants to join this one? Awesome. How many of you know that God gets excited for one? I mean, what would be the point of sharing this message if it didn't tell you that God gets excited even for one? So pray this prayer with me, everybody in this place. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us enough to send your Son. We ask for you to convince us that our sins are forgiven, that we would believe what your word says. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convincing me of this as I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.